is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone. This is Lana. Thanks for joining me. This weekend on Halloween is the NPI conference in Washington, D.C. called Become Who We Are. We'll be there. Hope to see some of you there. About my next guest, love him or hate him, joining me is Andrew Anglin. You got to give him credit because 2 years ago, he created the website dailystormer.com, which now gets over 3 million unique visitors a month. He's definitely pushing the limits of what is acceptable to the establishment. It's mocking, it's fun, and it's satirical to get the point across. The point being why people want to be left alone in a country of their own without Marxist filth. The SPLC is obsessed with watching Daily Stormer. They can't handle a peep of criticism and opposition because they are wrong and they know it. They just don't want everyone else to know it. And they're certainly alarmed that a hard-hitting opposition is forming before their eyes. But is it really so shocking considering all that they do against white people? With all the censorship and with all the things we're told we can't say, it's no wonder why the dailystormer.com is such a hit. White people want to vent. They want to let loose and shout the obvious from the mountaintops. They want to be left alone to live how and with whomever they choose. Andrew Anglin, coming up. Welcome, Andrew. Thanks for being here. I've thought about having you on for quite a while, but finally it's happening.
Well, I'm glad it's finally happening.
So how long have you been running Daily Stormer now?
2.5 years.
Wow. So have you received a lot of mainstream media requests in those 2 years?
Yeah, I have a lot, actually. Since that kid shot up that church and the SPLC tried to tie him to me. I've gotten a lot of big media requests after that. And then with this Donald Trump, they've been calling me up about that. But I started publishing their emails, so they kind of stopped contacting me.
That's funny.
I don't really have any interest in being involved with these people.
Oh, of course not. Like, what kind of things do they want you to talk about?
Well, they've been emailing me a lot about Donald Trump. And there was actually this guy, Osnos, who works for The New Yorker. He did a switcheroo on Jared Taylor and a couple other people where he said he wanted to talk about Dylann Roof. And they started talking about, he wrote articles about Donald Trump. So they've been asking me a lot about that, but I told them I was publishing their emails, so they pretty well stopped contacting me.
You're the go-to white supremacist, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Don Black still does interviews, so I tell them to contact him. They can contact Richard Spencer, does interviews. I don't really have any interest in it.
Well, like us, you went the alternative conspiracy route before coming to where you are. And I think that there's a lot of value in that to see the wider picture. And of course, we all have a past and we've all woken up in different ways. So when did you start waking up to racial issues?
Yeah, I lived in Asia for a long time. And when I was in my early 20s, and it was kind of obvious that race existed just from being around Asian people. I mean, anybody who doesn't believe race exists should go live in a country with non-white people. It becomes very obvious. We grow up with these ideas, you know, that they feed us about just different people behave different ways because they're raised in different ways and so on, culture, whatever. When you're actually in a situation with people from a different race, it becomes very obvious that it's an inborn behavior pattern, and characteristics and levels of intelligence and so on are all something you're born with. So, I mean, just being around people, it became very obvious to me. And then I started reading, you know, people with this view. And because I had been into alternative stuff and so on, it was something I was interested in. And I mean, you get to the point where it's just undeniable.
So when did you start seeing, hey, there's a war on white people?
Yeah, I started seeing that, I guess, about 4 years ago now, and I started a blog about it.
It's amazing how you can miss it. I mean, we've been doing these topics for a long time, alternative stuff, conspiracy, and then, you know, just woke up to this stuff really a few years ago. We didn't see the blatant war that was going on against white people. So when you do wake up to it, it's like, how did I miss that, you know?
Well, I think a lot of it is because you're alienated from yourself as white. I mean, it's like this idea of a white identity has been kind of stolen from us. So it's not an obvious thing at first when you've been raised in this type of culture.
So then how did you come to discover the JQ?
Yeah, I mean, like you, I had been involved in the conspiracy stuff. So it's something that you are kind of aware of, that Jews have this level of power when you're in the, I mean, most of the conspiracy movements are focused on Jews. But what's the important thing is to understand that Jews are a race and that they think and behave differently because of racial differences rather than some kind of religion or culture or, you know, whatever, that it is an inborn blood, DNA, genetic thing with Jews, their behavior patterns.
Now, has anyone showed up at your door yet for talking about this? Because, I mean, Jews are the one group you really can't criticize. So have you been attacked by various Jewish watch groups or even visited by the government?
Yeah, I've been visited by the government a few times. And, you know, I mean, these people harass your family. I've had reporters harass my mother. I've had, you know, the FBI show up at my dad's house a couple times. Guest PLC calls my family. You know, it's an ongoing thing. As soon as you start talking about these issues, they start harassing you.
Have you ever felt sketched out? Like you have to watch your back?
You know, I don't worry about things like that. I mean, there's no reason worrying about things you don't have control over.
So tell us more about these agents. What did they do? What did they say? I mean, how did they even approach you?
Well, I think that they've wanted me to be an informant, and they just wanted to just intimidate and harass my family.
And I know if you get popular enough, some will accuse you of being disinfo. Of course, you know, we used to get that too. So what do you say to people who accuse you of being an agent?
I don't know that anybody accuses me of that. you know, if I don't know how I would respond to that if somebody accused me of being a secret agent.
Well, of course, when did you come to learn the other side of the story regarding National Socialism?
Yeah, about the same time that I was reading about race. I mean, because you can't really read about race unless you go back to that 1920s, 1930s era where they were still allowed to talk about it. They're not really allowed to talk about it at all now. I mean, the bell curve, what's his name, Murray, in this new book, which I haven't read, Troublesome Inheritance. I've read a few reviews of it. And Kevin McDonald talks about it. But, I mean, for the most part, if you want to learn about racialism, you have to go back to these older books. So at that point, I mean, you're pretty much into Nazism.
So do you consider yourself a neo-Nazi? I mean, because a lot of the neo-Nazis today are just really cheesy. I mean, they fall into the kind of Hollywood-created stereotypical version of a skinhead Nazi. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, the term neo-Nazi sounds kind of gay, like white supremacist. I mean, you know, I'd rather not have that type of a label. I don't have any SS uniforms or anything. Kind of wish I did, but. No, I think that it does get a little bit silly with some of these people dressing up like Nazis and so on. I think that Hitler and National Socialism should be more of an inspiration than something that you're supposed to copy exactly.
Yeah, and of course we know that there's heavy infiltration of this, you know, supposed Aryan Brotherhood and all these like neo-Nazi kind of loser groups and National Socialist groups. I mean, it's come out that there's been agents in those. So, I mean, I don't even think those are real.
Yeah, and a lot of it's associated with prison gangs, which isn't really even an ideological thing. It's like once you go to prison, you're in a racial situation. So the whites in prison adopt the kind of Nazi symbolism, tattoos and such when they're in prison. I mean, some of those people might be genuine once they get out of prison. I don't know, but for the most part, prison gangs are a separate thing from any kind of political ideology.
Yeah, they do it so they don't get beaten up and killed in prison. Well, that makes sense. So I got to ask, what's the deal with Joshua Goldberg, who tried to infiltrate your site?
Yeah, that was quite a thing. That was apparently what resulted in the second FBI visit, but he came from Reddit, was how I knew about this guy. And he had been, you know, active in Reddit for a long time and done some funny stuff. So I told him, he contacted me and said he wanted to submit articles. I said, yeah, okay. Because I before he contacted me, I knew who this guy was just from his Reddit posting. So he starts submitting articles, and most of them are kind of normal. They were all Australian issues. I mean, most of them were about Australia, which was weird in hindsight, I guess. But at the time, I just assumed he was from Australia. I think he told me he was from Australia. So then he harasses this Australian Muslim woman, and it was kind of funny. Miriam Valdez, I think it was her name. And he wrote a lot of these articles harassing her, but then he starts getting like going a little bit too far with it. And I was like, man, I can't publish these articles. And then at some point, I guess it was in about late March or early April, I said, I'm not publishing any more of your articles. This has gotten out of hand. Because, you know, he was taking things too far. So at that point, I distanced myself from him, but some other people still had contact with him. And I was hearing, you know, that he was saying some crazy things, whatever. And eventually he gets caught by the FBI for planning a terrorist attack, pretending to be ISIS. is incredible. He was infiltrating everything. Hmm. This guy. I mean, he was the one who outed Brianna Wu as a tranny. Mm-hmm. He contacted Milo, however you say his last name, Yiannopoulos. He contacted him about that fake Black Lives Matter, that guy that was white. Mm-hmm. Was his name King? Yeah, he dug that up. I mean, this guy was like running the whole internet.
How's that possible?
I don't know. I mean, is it real? I don't know. I mean, he could have been multiple people. I have no idea. I mean, what he was doing, the only thing that he actually did that was illegal was plan that ISIS attack. I mean, the rest of what he was doing, none of it was illegal. So he could have kept going. Why he did that, I have no idea.
Was he an Israeli?
No, he was Jewish, but I think they were just German Jews.
So how did that relationship end then? What did you say?
Well, I, of course, at this time did not know he was a Jew. I didn't even know what he looked like or anything. But I just told him I didn't feel comfortable publishing his articles anymore because he was going too far with everything. And, you know, I was editing them and saying like, well, this is too much, man. I have to cut this out. And then I just started thinking he was, you know, trying to set me up. I assumed he was a Fed. Everybody that had contact with him eventually came to the conclusion that he must have been a Fed. It turns out he wasn't. He was just a crazy Jew. But now, I mean, I guess he probably is working for the Feds. They're not even putting him in. It's dropped out of the news. I mean, it was a top story that he was planning the 9/11 memorial attack. And then it drops out of the news completely. He's been sent to a mental facility. And they're saying he's not fit to stand trial. He's got some top Jew lawyers in Florida. The whole story is incredible. I can't believe the way they've dropped it out of the news, though.
Well, maybe they're just telling you he's insane and going to the cuckoo house, but really he's working for them or was working for them the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible he was working for somebody or being directed by somebody and the FBI didn't know, so they caught him like by accident. I mean, a lot of times these organizations get crossed wires and are arresting each other. So, I mean, it was very quick that they said, well, this guy's insane. We're sending him to a mental facility instead of prosecuting him. So it looks like that, or they just want him to come work for some, you know, JIDF operation.
Wow, what a weird story. Yeah, I would think that there's a lot of more kind of informants and agents and things that are going to be crawling around out there because now they say what white supremacists are the new terrorist threat, the biggest terrorist threat. So of course they'll be creating a lot of these events. Don't you agree?
Yeah. And I think people need to be very aware of that. And if anybody starts talking about, oh, we got to blow something up, we got to get some weapons and attack the government, you need to be aware that there's like a 90-something percent chance that anybody saying that is a Fed. If they're not a Fed, then they're a liability and they're going to be infiltrated by Feds immediately. Because, I mean, these people are on the internet. I mean, you know, and they're stupid people who think that they can go around on the internet talking about they're going to organize and overthrow the government. And the federal agents pick up on this very quickly and get involved with these people. And they'll let it run for a while, too. You know, I mean, it's not like as soon as somebody says something like that, they arrest them. They try and get more people involved. As many people as possible. Because, I mean, even if you're not talking about a Jewish conspiracy, these people get paid to do this. And they get promotions based on who they arrest. So, I mean, it's like a racket to get people to plan fake terror attacks when they're being baited by the FBI. So, I mean, you know, I mean, the first rule should be just don't do anything illegal. Don't talk about doing anything illegal. There's no reason to. I mean, we're having incredible progress spreading our message over the last couple of years. I mean, it's people are waking up to these issues. So that's my advice to anybody is just be very careful on the internet and know that everything you do is being monitored.
It's true what you say. I mean, there's agents that they get paid to do this stuff, to manufacture and create terrorists and to recruit and to get people extreme and to get them committing violence. I mean, there's been a lot of events like that that we know about that have already happened. So yeah, just look out for that. Well, I wanted to talk about the art of trolling because you seem to have it down. So how does one troll successfully?
Well, there's many different methods. I have a troll army, so I have an advantage. you know, I think there's a lot that can be done on the internet to spread the message, and humor should be used as much as possible because that's really the only way to kind of break down this psychological barrier that everybody has built in their minds, as far as race and Jews and black people, whatever, any of these issues. People have psychological barriers to these things. And when you use humor, you can get around these things. So I think mocking people is a very effective way to kind of get at them and to show other people who are seeing it just how ridiculous this whole situation is.
Yeah, so the idea is when people accuse you of being something like a Nazi, just run with it and use it against them, pump it up and even have fun with it, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, you know, it's something that needs to be refined as far as how you deal with these labels and so on. But I think that kind of running away from accusations of racism or anti-Semitism and so on, it's not really, because that puts you on the defensive automatically. As soon as you start saying, well, I'm not this, I'm not that, then you're in defensive mode. And psychologically, people recognize somebody who's defending themselves as the loser.
Plus, it just looks weak. There's no respect, you know, when someone's backing down and I'm sorry, but I like all races. You know, it just looks laughable.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, too, this whole apology culture.
So what tips do you have when dealing with social justice warriors? Because I'm sure you've been attacked by quite a few.
Well, I think to go along with what they're saying, to play into it is the best way to come at it. I mean, just say what you believe and say it straight. Don't because they feed on outrage and this idea that everybody should be sorry for everything. So I think, you know, just mock them. And also, I mean, as far as trolling, pretending to be these people is very funny. you know, for anybody who wants to get into that, you can pretend to be these people and get them to go along with what you're saying when you're mocking them, satirizing them, which is very funny. Because the whole social justice warrior thing is so unhinged now. I mean, they're promoting pedophilia in Salon magazine.
Yeah.
It's just collapsing in on itself. So, I mean, there's a lot of room to make fun of these people.
Oh, yeah, it's ripe for the picking. They are so easy to mock, you know? It's just a piece of cake. It's just a joke. I think it's also highly important to push the limits of what is acceptable to say, because if we don't, then eventually you won't be able to say anything at all. It's already happening as people censor themselves instead of just cutting loose and saying all those words that we've basically been told are naughty and you can't say that. But if we don't use those words, then that Overton window, it's hardly going to be open if we don't test and push the limits, you know, far from the left. So do you think there's value in like satire and edgy rightist material that uses kind of naughty language?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we do. So I think it's definitely highly valuable. It's, you know, like you say, the Overton window, you've got a situation where they're trying to clamp down on speech and censor everything. I mean, I think a lot of people come to the Daily Stormer and, you know, it's just funny because it's naughty, you know, saying these things that you're not supposed to say. And I think the left-wing paradigm has become extremely authoritarian, so it feels good to break out of that. I mean, whoever you are, to be able to rebel against this thing that's clamping down on you, you know, suffocating every aspect of white people's lives, this thought control, and that you have to believe a certain way or you're somehow morally wrong. You know, it feels good for people to get out from underneath that.
Yeah, it sure does. It seems like anytime there's liberals around, it's anything but freedom. I mean, there's like so many things you can't say all the time. Whereas if you go far to the right, it's actually fun. You can let your hair down and actually talk about what you see in front of your face.
Yeah, and I think right-wing people also tend to not get emotional about things. So it's like a liberal can have their say as well. I mean, I think that's the way most right-wing people view things. I mean, I'm happy to have some Jews explain to me the evidence for this alleged Holocaust, but you know, they don't want to do that. They just want to shut down all discussion.
They say it should be good news, right? It should be good news for the Jews.
Yeah, I mean, to have an open discussion about things. I mean, I would love to have open discussions about all kinds of things. But it's like you don't get that option. You're just silenced.
What do you think about the future of censorship? Where is it heading, especially for websites like yours?
Yeah, that's a big issue. I don't know. I mean, they took the domain of 8chan. They actually stole the domain. So, you know, this was a Colombian domain. So it's a little bit different than having a .com or a .net. But I mean, yeah, governments are cracking down on this, and these companies, Google and Facebook and so on, have all shown that they're willing to help with censorship that governments want to enforce. So, I mean, in America, I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably a few years off before they're going to start really cracking down on the First Amendment, but I mean, everything's happening so fast now, you know, yeah. It's like anything could happen. And if Hillary gets elected, I mean, I think her second term will be about, you know, closing down free speech completely.
Oh, you know, she will. They need a woman in there, and then she can come out being gay, and that'll be even better, right?
Yeah, I mean, we already have a black guy. We need a woman. Unless we can.
Yeah, it's interesting how it's not really overtly the government doing the censoring, but it's all these capitalists that are doing the moral policing. Because if you look at a lot of clauses and the terms and conditions, I've been taking screenshots. A lot of these companies actually have a clause in there like, you can't criticize foreigners and gays. And it's just like, it's there.
Yeah. I mean, just getting your site hosted is a nightmare because right now you probably have this too. The SPLC basically follows me around. I mean, these people are obsessed with me, and they will call up anybody. I mean, I can't get any payment processors. They're now trying to shut down certain security services that you have to use, trying to get that taken away. You know, I mean, they these people will harass you.
Yeah, and they get millions, probably billions of dollars to do it too. Yeah, PayPal, they're another traitor. They've been cutting people off, like you, and we know several other websites that have been cut off. But you know, you can buy all kinds of porn and different things on there, I'm sure. I've seen some things come across our way that you can buy on PayPal, no problem. But a site like yours, forget about it. They're not taking, not allowing you to take donations. So what do you think about cryptocurrencies? Is that a possibility? I mean, Bitcoin's kind of dropped in value, though.
Yeah, it goes up and down. It's not a stable currency. I mean, I'm not an expert on the topic. I use Bitcoin now for donations because you can kind of put money in Bitcoin and transfer it and then take it out of Bitcoin into cash. So it's, it's an option. I don't know if those currencies will ever really be stable because they can be manipulated by people buying and selling mass quantities of them. And obviously the people that run banks don't really want that to be successful. So,
and now the IRS is sniffing around too, Bitcoins. They want you to report and stuff. I'm really hoping that there's some futurists, you know, a lot of technologically advanced kind of transhumanists that are more, you know, pro-white, that are waking up to these things, because we really need that area right now, technology, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And I think that people that work in those fields are very prone to this type of thinking. I think they're probably shy to come out about it, most of them, but I think they are prone to thinking this way. Because, I mean, you know, a certain level of intelligence, especially with the situations we've got going on now with all our countries being flooded with these people where you have to be around them. I mean, when you have a distance from them, then you can kind of say, well, we don't know, maybe it's our culture. But when you have to be around these people, then you see them exactly as they are. And I mean, for an intelligent person to keep going on about, well, they have a different culture, it's just not going to happen. Anybody with a certain IQ level can see what's going on with these people, that they're lower evolved, less evolved beings on the whole.
Well, I hope some of these futurists and transhumanists and, you know, technologically savvy people start coaxing them out. But you're right. It is a lot of white, kind of sometimes nerdy, you know, Gamergate guys or more closed off guys or introverted loner types. And so it would be good to coax them out, because eventually we might be in a place where we need an exoskeleton suit, you know what I mean? Or some kind of like high technology to protect our future little white colonies somewhere. I mean, that's where I see it going.
Yeah, we're going to need a robot army. The thing is, though, the system itself is collapsing, I think, because of the incompetence of all these people. So, I mean, that's something that you can kind of feel good about, that they really are incredibly incompetent at this point, and it's becoming more so as they replace all these positions with affirmative action hires. You know, the system itself is just kind of imploding in on itself.
Didn't even NASA do affirmative action? So got to get those Muslims up in space, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, the head of NASA is a black guy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the head of CENTCOM is a black guy. The president of the United States is a black guy. it's ridiculous to put black people in these positions. I mean, anybody can say that. But it's just they have to keep pushing that idea. Oh, they're the same as us. Everything's the same. And I mean, anybody that takes a step back is like, wait, you have a black guy as the head of the space program? And you can see the incompetence. When they bombed that hospital in Afghanistan, while the hospital is calling up like, hey, stop bombing us. This is a hospital. Mm-hmm. We're French. They just kept bombing this hospital. I mean, this is the level of, this was a crazy thing to do, just to create an international incident bombing this hospital. Jeez. But they just did it because they're incompetent people. This is why while they were saying, you know, Putin is evil for bombing ISIS. That was right when that was happening. They start bombing a French hospital in Afghanistan and kill a bunch of people. So, I mean, you know, that's a pretty high level up the chain of command that's doing airstrikes, especially now in Afghanistan. And that's what they're doing. They're blowing up French hospitals. So, you know, you can see in certain news stories just the level to which the establishment has sunk as far as just incompetence, mainly from affirmative action. And I think people in general are kind of getting stupider. I mean, white people, yeah, as well.
They are. And they're dumbing them down in a variety of ways, for sure. And then they're trying to tell us that eugenics is bad. You shouldn't pick a mate who's better looking and smarter, right? That's racist. Actually, you want your kids to be uglier and dumber, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That would be fair. Then everyone else will feel better, so your daughter won't be too beautiful, right?
Yeah, did you see that Down syndrome model that they're pushing?
No. It does not surprise me, though.
Yeah, they're really pushing it, sexualizing people with Down syndrome.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty.
Can't remember the name. You can type it, though. Down syndrome model. God. I mean, that's literally where we're at. Like, and there's articles about it. Like, yeah, she's embracing her sexuality. Yeah. Just the mental capacity of a 5-year-old. So, I mean, it's just a sick thing we got going on.
Yeah, America's going down the toilet fast and it's only getting worse. So I know we've been talking about it, but where do you see America heading? I mean, how do you think white people are going to fit into this if everything's collapsing?
Well, I don't think there's probably going to be a major, like, catastrophic collapse. I think it's just going to be a kind of Detroitification of everything where, you know, white people get pushed out and they try and move. And I mean, now even in Detroit, there's white people in the center of the city. In my hometown, Columbus, Ohio, the whites have all moved to the center of the city. The property values and, you know, old buildings, they're not legally allowed to tear down and build these brick apartment buildings that they put the blacks in, have served as a kind of protection. In Columbus, I mean, Mexicans, Indians, and Pakistanis, and Somalians, they've taken over all the suburbs now. So, yeah, I mean, white people have moved into the center of the city. So I think it's going to go that way. I guess the same way it's been going for a long time, that white people just kind of try and congregate together wherever they can. You know, in the long term, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there's going to be bigger riots than we've seen already. I mean, this Black Lives Matter, all this stuff, I mean, it's going to intensify.
Yeah, you know, now also they've chosen Idaho, one of the whitest states in America. They're putting a huge refugee resettlement program in there. They already happened, so they've been busing in thousands into northern Idaho.
Yeah, this is what they do, and that's what the whole HUD program that Obama has rammed through by executive order is about, finding places with white people and, quote, diversifying them, which means moving usually poor blacks or Mexicans into the middle of neighborhoods. So
that's right.
You know, I mean, it is about chasing down the last white person.
Oh, yeah, and it's happening everywhere. I got a message today from someone in Slovenia in this little town called Dubova. It's only 700 people. Slovenia has some really beautiful medieval little towns and villages. I'd love to go there. It's just gorgeous. And now this town of 700 is getting 1,700 invaders. 1,700. So that's more than the native population that's there. I mean, I just can't even fathom this. It just makes me want to rage when I hear about that.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to end up eating these people. There was a town in Netherlands that had 140 people, and they sent 1,400 black Africans there. And they're doing it in Germany. They have a 10-to-1 policy in these towns. That's what they're talking about doing, is that if there are 10 immigrants for every one person in these small towns. So, I mean, they're trying to get them out of the big cities in Germany and spread them out into these little towns. You know, America hasn't started doing that yet, but presumably they will eventually.
Yeah, I saw too. There's this couple. They're not Swedish, of course. Everyone's saying, "Oh, they're Swedish." No, they're not Swedish. They have this nonprofit they started called Refugee Air. So now they're going to be bringing in for free, 2,000 quote unquote refugees to Sweden a day. 2,000. I mean, the local population couldn't breed fast enough to keep up with how many they're bussing in. It's like, and if you need people there, if you're worried about birth rates, like, incentivize it. Or hell, there's lots of Swedes in America that would love to go back to Sweden, or lots of Germans in America that would love to go live back in Germany. But no, they don't do that.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, this birth rate thing is a hoax. I am not worried about low birth rates at all. I mean, people are concerned about it. I think that the main concern with low birth rates is just the personal happiness. As far as the actual population numbers, this is not an issue.
on the larger sociological level or socioeconomic level. There's enough people. We have enough people existing already. There's more white people alive now than there were at any point in history. So the idea that we couldn't go back to early 20th century or late 19th century population levels and still have a functioning society is ridiculous.
Yeah, populations, they ebb and flow. It's okay. I mean, but the other side loves to say, oh my God, whites, they're dying. You know, it's more like a psychological thing. They want to freak you out about it.
Yeah, and a lot of white nationalists play into this. I see that they're talking about, oh my God, we have to have more babies. And it's like, well, there's enough people. The demographics crisis is our numbers compared to theirs and the fact that we have open borders. And now, I mean, just the fact that all these people are in the country already, they have to go out. Maybe not American blacks. They have a stable population, I guess. I mean, we have to do something about these people. But the immigrants, the Mexicans in the U.S. and the Muslims in Europe, as well as, you know, a lot of Muslims and Africans coming into the United States, these people, they breed like rats. So, yeah, I mean, that's the demographics crisis, is our numbers versus theirs, not our total numbers. These are not a problem. I mean, there are more white people alive today than any time in history. So our numbers can shrink and we don't have a problem. This is just they throw this in your face. This, I mean, Merkel was saying it, you people are not breeding enough. So we have to bring in all these immigrants. These governments constantly say it. I mean, Sweden says it. This governor of Minnesota just came out and said, well, you're not breeding enough. We need more people. We need Somalians.
Yeah.
you know, yeah. Like what? But I mean, with the level of technological development, we're going to need less people.
Yeah, it's getting overpopulated. So, we can't sustain this population explosion. It's taxing on the environment and the infrastructure and the resources. I mean, we can't just continue like this.
Well, yeah. I mean, with I think our populations can remain, like, you know, if every woman has two kids, I think that would be good as far as white people. But these brown and black people, I mean, there's no way that we can take that the planet Earth can take this many people. I mean, you look at the numbers of Africans. I mean, this is exponential. Eventually, the African population is going to double every day.
That is insane. Well, on the good side, a lot of lefty women are not having babies, so that's good. So they won't be spreading more of that. And you have more traditional women that are choosing to have babies. But I also see that there's a lot of intelligent people that aren't having babies. And I see that as a problem, don't you?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah.
I mean, are you going to have kids?
I don't have any kids, no.
Do you want to have kids?
I guess I would. You know, it's not something I think a lot about.
Yeah, just, I mean, you have to meet the right person. So I know that there's so many guys out there that want kids. I hear from them all the time, but they can't find women. I'm like, well, you guys got to travel. You got to go. We got to go places to go out and get it. You can't just sit around and complain about it.
Yeah, I mean, I talk on my website about this, about meeting women and such things. I mean, I think a lot of probably intelligent men do have a problem meeting women. And, you know, women that are going to have kids that you feel comfortable with in that situation, it's probably pretty hard to find for most people. And at least in Anglo countries, I mean, I think it's a lot better. And even in Germany or Western Europe, but as far as in the UK and the United States and Australia, I think people have pretty big problems.
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time meeting good women friends to hang out with in America too. It's difficult. And it's funny because some of the good friends I have right now are Slavic girls that I've met that have come over here, and I'm Russian, yeah. So I instantly feel bonded with them. And they're a different breed for sure. But I think there is more and more women waking up, because I mean, I've been meeting lots of them since doing this radio show. A lot of younger girls, you know, 20s and 30s that are waking up to the stuff, and they want kids and they're awake. So I think there is going to be a movement of it happening, because girls are also sick of this feminist bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of why women in Europe are so aggressively supporting this invasion, is that they kind of want, subconsciously at least, they crave this Islam.
Yeah, they want something firm, right? They want a patriarchy at the end of the day. They just don't even realize.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other, because it's, I mean, you look at it and it's like, well, if you bring all these Muslims in, they're going to make Europe into Muslim countries. There's not any other possible outcome. I mean, not even a theoretical possibility. This is the singular outcome of bringing millions of Muslims and letting them breed to infinity in Europe. So when you see people wanting this, it seems to be some kind of subconscious obsession with Islamification.
I think they haven't seen anything else, because in Western Europe, especially, guys have been so feminized and neutered. I mean, Sweden especially, it's really sad when you look around. I mean, even when I went there, like, guys don't really overtly, unless they're really drunk, they don't really pick up on women. That, I mean, because they've been so deballed by feminists, they're like, how do I even talk to women anymore? You know, they're like afraid to even go ask her out, which is weird to me, you know? You're used to guys coming up and asking you out more aggressively. But I think that there's this new breed of this kind of new right, far right guy that is very sexy and appealing to women. So I think as more guys come on board with that, it will also drag in more women, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's something that men should focus on, is becoming that type of man. I mean, you know, you have all these big political issues that you can't really do anything about, but you do have control over your own life and what you eat and how you behave in your personal life. So, I mean, I think that's a place, and women too, you know, I mean, reclaiming their kind of biological identity.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think women want guys that can get stuff done, that can protect them, that can take care of business, whether they admit it or not. That's what they want. Because I see in places like Sweden where they're, you know, the feminists are just insane, and then they start to resent the guys for not being more aggressive or standing up to them, you know? It's really messed
up. Yeah, I mean, that seems to be what the whole thing is. I mean, this invasion is a mass cuckolding of these women bringing in men to replace men that they view as weak.
Yeah.
It's natural. I mean, on the part of women to seek that dominant males. And I think this is the way, again, probably mostly subconsciously, but that a lot of women go out there and aggressively support this invasion. That's what's going through their heads.
Well, I don't know how they can view any of these invaders coming in as attractive. They're absolutely repulsive and disgusting in my view. Ugh,
monkeys.
Yeah. Ugh, I just can't stand it, seeing them. Just a bunch of monkeys running around, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's horrible. I mean, you see these groups of them. My God. They're all men. They're all 20-something-year-old men.
Yeah, and it's like you have to go to Africa to see how the men treat the women there too. It's the women, and I've been through Africa, it's the women that are actually doing the work. The guys just sit around on their ass, and it's just, yeah, it's mud dick all the time.
Yeah, yeah, I've read about it. I mean, and I've seen it obviously in America. I've been in North Africa, but I've never been in Black Africa before. But I mean, even in America, you have Black women who will work at actual jobs. I mean, whether it's like, you know, answering phones at a desk or something, they're actually working at a job. The men almost never do. So I think that's part of their evolutionary development, that women work in the Black culture while the men don't.
Oh yeah. So I got to ask you, what do you think of the idea, no enemies on the right? Because I know there's a lot of infighting going on, but at this point, I feel like we have to be almost like the white army to acquire numbers and finding the simplest common denominator to unite all these little different groups. So what do you think about no enemies on the right?
Oh, I fully support this concept. I don't attack anybody on my website. Anybody that's on, well, I do attack Alex Jones, but he's kind of a liberal.
He deserves it.
He's not really. Yeah, and I mean, he's real bad. And you know, I mean, things like the kind of cuckservative thing. I think this has been very effective, and you do need to kind of separate from conservatives who are not actually even conserving anything. It's like, what does a word even mean? So, I mean, you know, it's a complicated sort of area, but I think that people can that understand what's going on with different movements and different ideologies can have a pretty clear idea of who is genuinely on the right and who isn't. So, people complain that Jared Taylor doesn't talk about Jews, and it's like, well, yeah, that's weird. I don't know why he doesn't talk about Jews, but he must have some personal reason. He's still putting out a lot of good material. Mm-hmm. I mean, so to go complain about this guy, I mean, and then people will say, well, he must be a secret agent. It's like, well, maybe he's got some personal reason he doesn't want to talk about Jews. Let's look at the rest of his information. It's all great. So, you know, I don't believe it. I mean, I hate this Gavin McInnes, though. I mean, this guy's horrible.
Yeah. You know, I invited Lauren Southern to come on the show, and she was going to, and then she flaked out on me last minute because I criticize Israel and I've pointed out Jewish involvement in certain aspects. And so she couldn't put that difference aside and just come on to talk to me about feminism and cultural Marxism, things that we agree on, because I criticize Jews.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big barrier. Because people know that if they start talking about Jews, then, or if they do an interview with somebody who talks about Jews, then they start to get these blocks. So, I mean, people just don't want to be involved with it. Most people don't. So, I mean, it's a big issue because it's the most important thing that you can talk about. It is the issue is Jews. So, I mean, I can give a pass to somebody like Jared Taylor who puts a lot of scientific information that's needed for the movement out there. You know, he does a lot of good work, but you know, the real issue remains Jews. This is the bottom line. We got to deal with these people.
Yeah, they're causing trouble, that's for sure. Yeah, Ezra Levant, he funds Rebel Media, and I was looking around the other day, and they actually had this press release, you know, that they're in Israel seeking for journalists because they want to give Israel a true voice. They want to show the other side of Israel, as if we don't hear enough about Israel and the Jews, you know?
Yeah, and you know, this guy, he's a typical Jew. He rips off other people's work. I mean, you can see his videos on Rebel Media is his channel, and they're all, he just rips off things, and he doesn't even do it quickly. Sometimes it's 3 days later, he makes a video. I mean, he did one on Clock Boy that was ripped off of Stephen Molyneux. He just took all his talking points, like one by one by one. So now, yeah, he's got Gavin McInnes working for him. And it's like Gavin McInnes, at first, I was excited because, you know, he's a public figure. And he was doing pretty edgy stuff, talking about blacks and eugenics. And mm-hmm. He even wrote some about Jews. And, you know, on Tacky Mag, there's some pretty good stuff. I mean, they don't outright deny the Holocaust, but, you know, what's his name? Jim Goad has written some stuff, you know, questioning the Holocaust and put it on there. So, you know, I was like, well, this is a mainstream figure is coming around in the correct direction. But then he gets signed on with this Ezra Levant, and he starts coming out with this pro-Israel. He says it cuckservative. He tries to take down the cuckservative meme and says that, well, we support, he took an article from Matt Forney that was published on Return of Kings, and he says, oh, well, we support Israel, and we're not against the blacks because there's these good black guys that nobody's ever heard of.
yeah, I saw that video. It was pathetic. So pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, he came out with that, and because of his connection to Jews. I mean, that's what caused that to happen, was he got sucked in with these Jews, which, I mean, I don't think he's a particularly, you know, high ideological, moral person, whatever. But, I mean, that's what caused him to go in that specific direction where, I mean, because seriously, who cares about Israel? I mean, just on a straight up level of not even knowing anything about anything. I mean, objectively, why would you care about this country? What's the point of caring about it? We have no shared interests as Americans or as Europeans with this country. They're constantly starting wars with everybody. I mean, there's nothing likable about it. Why just objectively would anybody say, yeah, I support Israel? Yep. I mean, what's the point of it? It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, they have to get that in there somehow. And usually, I mean, you know, Rush Limbaugh did it with the Christian Zionism. and so on. But I mean, what Rebel Media and Gavin McInnes are trying to be this new version of Rush Limbaugh. But it's like, I mean, if you don't believe in Christian Zionism, what are you going to support? I mean, why would anybody support Israel? What do they do?
Exactly. Create troubles. Ever since they've existed, they've created troubles.
Yeah, I mean, all they've done is create problems for the entire planet, and nobody even knows why they're there or what's even going on with it. I mean, it's never been explained why they moved all those people to Palestine. I mean, they vaguely said it was because of the Holocaust, but I mean,
Hitler wanted to get them out, right? He relocated them, right? So they wouldn't even have Israel if it weren't for Hitler.
Yeah, I mean, Hitler did send people to Palestine. I mean, he was just trying to send them anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
But I mean, now there's 6 million in America. There's more, I think, or about the same as in Israel. So they don't even, most of them don't even live there. So I mean, they need this to protect them from getting gassed. Is that actually the explanation?
It's after they ruin everything here, then they can go run and hide there with their nukes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reality of it. But I'm just talking about, you know, for the average person looking at this situation, nothing even makes sense. And you know, looking at Israel, it's a good place to start. It doesn't make any sense why they're even there.
Their biblical, you know, Semitic myths are tied in with that land. They think it's really theirs. I mean, there have been also lots of rabbis talking about encouraging the destruction of Europe because then their Messiah can show up. I mean, I've heard lots of rabbis talking about that. So there's the spiritual element to the state of Israel.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's why they picked it, because, I mean, Herschel, the guy that came up with the Zionist concept in the late 1800s, he was talking about putting it in South America. He said that maybe you could use Palestine, but it wasn't really the best option because you would have to fight these Arabs, that it would make more sense to put it someplace else. And I mean, they already have their sovereign area in Azerbaijan in Russia. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they had this already, but, yeah, I mean, they have some kind of religion. I don't know. It was founded by secular people, but I guess having it in Palestine, you know, encouraged certain religious elements to get involved and really aggressive. They look down. I mean, the most Jews look down on religious Jews, but they use them for the settlements and so on.
What did you think of Ann Coulter and her comment?
I think she was probably drinking and. I think she probably hates Jews as much as we do. I think realistically, I think she knows what's going on with them, and she's been forced to be around them, and probably knows that by playing that "I love Israel" stuff, that she's able to get the rest of her ideas through. So
I wonder if Trump's like that too. I mean, he's got to know he's working in New York, right? He's got to know that they're in charge of a lot there. So is he just pretending to get along, or what do you think his deal is?
Well, I mean, I think probably some of it might be pretending, and probably some of it is just that he's worked with Jews and thinks that there's, you know, some that you can work with and some that you can't, and doesn't maybe fully grasp how it works on the whole political level. Cause he hasn't really ever been involved in politics. I mean, he had a Jew. I think he got rid of him now, actually, working on his campaign. So, I mean, it was a Jew lawyer. The lawyer was probably good at doing whatever legal work he was doing before he put him on his campaign, and then when he was on the campaign, he started causing problems and threatening journalists. So I don't know. I don't know about Donald Trump, what he thinks of the Jews. What I'm concerned about Donald Trump is that he attacks literally all of their agendas, and they sure do hate him. So you know, what he thinks of them is not really even relevant.
All right. Well, just a couple more questions for you. I wanted your take on what are some things we can do to be proactive to what's coming? I mean, how can we prepare? Should we be getting self-sufficient? Should we be learning skills? Should we be getting fit? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, all of those things are worthwhile. I think just being psychologically prepared is probably the most important. I don't know about, you know, stocking up on food and so on, if it's ever even really going to get to that level. I mean, food is very cheap to produce right now. Are we really going to be to the point where it's like total chaos, like these prepper types are preparing for? I don't know. As far as like believing that there's going to be some massive collapse and everything's just going to go crazy all at once, and then you have to have a storehouse of food and, you know, so much ammo. I mean, I think ammo would be a better thing to buy than food if you want to store something. But yeah, I mean, to be prepared, I think that if people can move to places that are not in the center of an American city, that's probably a good thing to do. I mean, that's a good thing to do for your mind and your health anyway, to get out of a city. So I would say if anybody has an opportunity to do that, most people probably don't, because they have to work, and the only place you can work is in a city. So
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as far as health, this is very important, and people should focus on that. I've tried to encourage this a lot on my website about diet and fitness and so on. So I mean, it's a very important thing, and again, not necessarily for a collapse, but just for quality of life.
Do you think in America we should be working to form a political party, or how do you see that going out? Or should we just be separatist and be thinking of something entirely different?
No, I think there needs to be political parties, if only for the purpose of spreading the message, because in America, especially, it's very hard to get elected and so on. But I think we need a political ideology in America that people can get behind. I think that would be fantastic to have a rallying point. Because right now, I mean, everything's on the internet and everybody's kind of confused and people are disagreeing about things and so on and so on. So, I mean, I think that's something that Donald Trump has been very good, because it kind of connects us sort of on the very far right to the mainstream, that we support this guy just like the average Republican supports this guy. And I think that that's been a powerful thing. And I think that it should serve as an example of the kind of atmosphere we need to create where people can come together about certain issues politically.
Yeah. Have you been networking? I'm sure you're meeting lots of people from your website, right? You making friends in all kinds of places.
Yeah, I do. I do. You know, I've met up with a lot of people in real life from the website, and I have a lot of communication with a lot of different people in a lot of countries. So it's been good.
Yeah. So what did you think of Soldiers of Odin in Finland? Did you see that? Some guys that took to the streets because the cops aren't taking care of business there in Finland. So they're just kind of patrolling and keeping an eye out because they got an influx of refugees coming into this town. And apparently there had been these refugees that were eyeing this, you know, playground of the school, just kind of checking out the kids. And we know there's issues with rape and things going on. Do you think that that's a good idea to self-organize, to kind of be our own watch force, or is that trouble?
Well, I mean, it would depend on what country you're in and how exactly that works. In America, I don't know, to organize a militia. I think it's legal. So yeah, I mean, people probably have to talk to a lawyer first, but yeah, I mean, it's legal to organize a militia. So it might as well.
Okay, everyone, dailystormer.com is the website. If you haven't been there, definitely go there. Well, thanks again, Andrew.
Thank you, Lana.
If there are other edgy rightists out there, I'd also recommend the website therightstuff.biz and check out The Daily Shoah and also Fash the Nation. When the light, polite stuff or the intellectual, serious stuff isn't your current mood, go there. It feels good to let your hair down, cut loose, and mouth off. It's perfectly natural in these times. In fact, I encourage all of you to push the limits of what is acceptable according to liberals' social norms. Challenge the libtards around you. You can still be classy about it, of course, but stop being so agreeable to get along. Keep trying new things to get the opposition off balance. Make them live up to their own book of rules. And of course, mock and ridicule their weakest points. And most of all, enjoy it when you do. The other side senses this, and it drives them to reveal what's really inside their mind. Most liberals think the only opposition is conservatives or religious people. They won't expect someone like you challenging them. On the flip side, try and engage with more people when you're out and about running errands or going to appointments. Engage in a way where you can slip in a red pill or two. You see, the average Joe has no real idea of what is going on, and he has been programmed by words like diversity. Yet deep down, he senses things are wrong. He's unconsciously seeking that red pill to set him free. I can see the desperation on people. This can be done in one-liners or small talk. We can plant seeds. Just the other day, I was at the dentist and he and the hygienist asked me about Sweden. That opened the door for me to talk about how multiculturalism is destroying Sweden. They had never heard such a thing and were curious as though they unconsciously recognized something they needed to know. So it opened the door for more discussion on the war on Europeans overall. By the end of the conversation, I could see a spark turning on inside them as though they were relieved, strengthened, like a sense of guilt had left them. That guilt programmed by the establishment. White people know something is very, very wrong. They just need to be able to know it's okay to say that. You see, people need to be armed. They need to hear the truth, and they need help to see the double standards. Your average person can't do this on their own. When you walk people through the logical steps, they come right in. That's what our people need, to be armed with the truth to give them confidence. Okay, on another subject, please find my personal and professional links on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. You can also get this show on TuneIn, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Most of these programs also go up on YouTube. Radio314.com is the website. If there's a guest you want to hear, please send me a message. Well, for the sake of fun and in case agents are listening, I'm going to leave you with the World War II marching song for the SS called Erica. Thanks and have a good night.